At KBOO, we think that all communities deserve to be fully informed on the policies and decisions that will impact their lives, and we need your help to make that happen. We're looking for citizen journalists to help collect, report, and broadcast the news. Do you think that there are groups that are underrepresented or marginalized by the mainstream media? Are you aware of social, political, or environmental activities that don't have adequate visibility? Are there important issues in your town or region that aren't getting coverage? This is your chance to give a voice to the voiceless. You don't have to have experience, and you don't have to come into KBOO's Portland studio. You can contribute from wherever you live. If you have some basic writing skills and a desire to get the word out, we want you. Just send an email with your idea and contact information to newsdirector, that's all one word, newsdirector@kboo.fm, and include the words citizen journalist in the subject line, and the news team will contact you. Once again, send that email to newsdirector@kboo.fm.
Well, good morning. This is Fight the Empire. My name is Pierre Fogring. I'd like to start out by backing Teresa's remarks about unions. I've been in 7 different unions in my working career, and they've all been pretty good. They've all been very helpful. They've saved me on many occasions, and can't recommend them more highly. So if you get a chance, join a union. If you don't have a union, try and organize one. Well, I think I can think of lots of reasons to impeach Donald Trump, but my number one reason would be Donald Trump scrapping the nuclear treaty with Iran. This was done out of personal spite that he has for ex-President Obama. He feels that he has to undo everything that Obama ever accomplished. And what it did, it puts the world in danger as tensions keep escalating around the Persian Gulf. And it also means that the U.S. can't be trusted. Why would any country want to make a treaty with the United States if some gonzo president like Trump can just dump it for purely narcissistic, neurotic reasons? This is crazy. So anyway, that is my number one reason for impeaching Donald Trump. There are other reasons too, the emoluments clause in the Constitution, but anyway, the Russiagate scandal, so-called scandal, is way down on the list. So to understand the Russiagate thing, we have to start with William Binney. Binney was with the NSA for 30 years, somewhat of a whistleblower, but he was a technical director. So here's a guy with some expertise. And he came out with a statement that the Democratic National Committee information that was made public was leaked and not hacked. And he based this on technical reasons that the download time was too short for hacking. It had to be something that was somebody from the inside the DNC had to put it on a thumb drive and download it. So that was Binney's statement. He also went into time zones and where the material. It gets very complicated and kind of technical. But anyway, here's a credible person making a credible claim about a very important issue. But William Binney was totally ignored by the Mueller people. They never interviewed him. They came up with their own version of their own idea of how the DNC material was supposedly hacked. But they, if the Mueller report had contradicted Binney, taken his arguments into account and refuted them, okay. But they just ignored him. To me, that means the whole Mueller investigation was a little bit less than honest. Apparently, according to former CIA analyst Ray McGovern, the FBI, which was supposedly investigating this thing, never actually got to see the computers that were supposedly hacked. The computers remain in the possession of the Democratic National Committee and its a group that it organized called CrowdStrike. So they analyzed the computers and they gave their report to the FBI. So the FBI never saw the computers, never got to do forensics on them. Another point about this information is that it had to do with how the DNC sabotaged Bernie Sanders' campaign, and it had to do with Hillary Clinton's well-paid speeches to Wall Street insiders. And this is information, it was not false information, it was all true information, and it was stuff that the citizens have a right to know about. And it also led to increased sanctions on Russia. So the whole Russiagate thing starts out with on a false basis. Another question is if it was leaked, who did the leaking? Apparently, there is some evidence that the leaking was done by a young DNC person named Seth Rich. Now, he was murdered in Washington, D.C. A few years ago, and some people claim that this was in retaliation for his leaking the DNC material. Well, I think this is false. Seymour Hersh has been investigating this thing, and he was actually recorded on tape, without his permission, by the way, saying that putting forth Seth Rich's name as the leaker, but saying that there was no connection between the leaking and the killing of Seth Rich. So if the supposed hacking is put out, is removed from the accusations, then this leaves social media interference as evidence of Russian interference in our elections. And it's really kind of hard to analyze this stuff because I've seen examples of these things that appeared on social media, which they say was promulgated by a Russian trolling outfit called the Internet Research Agency. And if you look at this stuff, it's a weird mix of the kind of news and fakery, some pro-Trump, some anti-Trump. It just kind of goes all across the map. And supposedly it was intended to, as they say, sow discord in the United States, which seems to assume that there was no discord to begin with. It makes me think of back in the days of the civil rights struggle when people, civil rights organizers went into the South. They were accused of being outside agitators by the white Southerners, as if without these agitators, everything would be okay in the South, that the black people living in the South are perfectly happy, but they were stirred up by outside agitators. Now, recently, a federal judge in Washington, D.C. ruled that that this internet research agency, which is based in St. Petersburg, Russia, this judge ruled that you cannot call this agency a government outfit. The judge's name is Dabney Friedrich, and she ruled that whatever the internet research agency has done, it was doing so as a basically a trolling outfit, or a selling. Apparently, they make their living out of selling clicks on the internet. And so the judge ruled that it's that the government cannot call this IRA a tool of the Russian government. Another accusation that's been leveled in this Russiagate affair is election interference. In fact, I think Mueller was quoted, he said on his, when he was investigated or interviewed on the, by the committees, House committees, he said that they were still interfering in our elections, and I'm not sure in what way, by hacking into them or whatever, and they were doing, and expected this to continue into the into next year's elections. It's interesting to note that this whole issue was brought up back in 2004 by several people. Harvey Wasserman and Bob Fitrakis wrote articles about how these election machines could be hacked or fixed in some way. This is also written about by Bev Harris within in her website called Black Box Voting. Now, this is back in 2004 where this issue was raised, where you have these kind of election voting machines that are all electronic. Back in 2004, the people in charge of them, people who were accused of or suspected of messing around with them, were not Russians. They were American state election officials. And also the companies that made these voting machines, because they would not release the algorithms and the internal workings of these machines, because they said this was proprietary information. So this whole Russiagate thing really kind of it diminishes, because it was not hacked material; it was leaked, and the social media interference charge is really kind of, it's really hard to make sense out of it. Well, Robert Mueller was, in one day he was interviewed by or interrogated by two different House committees, and in that time he declined to answer 198 questions. He also trashed WikiLeaks as some kind of a hostile intelligence agency, where actually WikiLeaks is a publisher of leaked information. That's what happened to the DNC material. It got published by WikiLeaks. So the eventual outcome of all this, seems to me the takeaway lesson of this is that the Russiagate Russian interference story is wildly exaggerated, and it also it obscures a very basic lesson, is that our political system put Donald Trump in the White House. And for some reason, Americans, or a lot of Americans, are unable to face up to that. I can see why the Democrats would want to not face up to this, because it makes their campaign look bad. But if our system did put Trump in the White House, it makes it kind of hard for us to sell American democracy to the rest of the world. And also makes it easier to go to war with Russia. In fact, I think there's one thing to worry about, that there's all sorts of talk about, leading up to some kind of war with Russia. Adam Schiff himself, who was the head of the House Intelligence Committee, he's very much of a war hawk against Russia, against Venezuela, against Iran and China. So we're left with really two lousy choices. A lousy president like Donald Trump on one hand, against what has been called a deep state, which to me includes the FBI and the CIA. And I don't know if you remember a few years ago, Chuck Schumer kind of gave a warning to Trump about antagonizing the deep state. He said that they have, quote, six ways from Sunday of getting back at you. And I think this is something to keep in mind. So here you have Trump on one hand, and we have the deep state on the other hand. Well, if Donald Trump is a fascist, which a lot of people say with their reasons that he is, then what is a deep state? And the FBI gave us COINTELPRO, gave us J. Edgar Hoover, it gave us the murder of Fred Hampton in Chicago, and it also, in the CIA, gives us, has supported fascists all over the world. So that is, those seem to be the antagonists in this conflict. And one final thing on that is, whatever they can do to Trump, which may be very satisfying to some people, if they can do it to Donald Trump, they could also do it to one of our own. Suppose Bernie Sanders got elected president and the deep state went after him the way they are going after Trump. I think we would be upset. So this is something we should keep in mind. But we do have a caller on the line. Mike is on the line. Good morning, Mike.
Morning, Perry. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. How are you doing?
Well, I just want to know why we aren't hearing the word paper ballots on the news. And why aren't people demanding paper ballots?
That's a very good question. I'm glad you brought it up.
And they need to have like maybe five Democrats, five Republicans, watch the ballots go in the box, not take their eyes off of them till they get to the counting point, turn over custody, none of these ballots being thrown out unless there's a real reason for it. And why aren't people demanding that?
That's a very, very good question. Yes.
Okay. Well, that was my comment. I don't get it, Per. Why aren't people? I don't get it.
Well, I get it. I hereby demand that we switch back to paper ballots. This is a traditional way of counting votes on election day. This is what they still do in Canada, and it works very well. And
yeah.
It's tried and true, and there's very little, there are always possibilities of elections being rigged or ballots being miscounted, but they're much less when you have actual paper ballots and human beings watching the whole process. And so I think definitely we should go back to paper ballots, but we have this fixation on having modern technology do all our work for us, and so glad you brought that point up. Anyway, thanks for your call.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, you bet.
One other thing I'd like to talk about is about Brazil. The new president of Brazil, Jair Bolsonaro, who I would call a fascist, he has been making steps to open up the Amazon to disaster. bringing in logging and mining, cattle ranches and soy farms, chopping down the rainforest and bringing in all these destructive practices. This is the latest outrage is where some Brazilian gold miners killed an Indian leader. They stabbed him to death. Well, Brazil has been called, the Amazon has been called the lungs of the world. With all these trees and all this vegetation, it keeps our air as clean as it is now. And so this is a service that the Amazon performs for the entire world. So we all have a stake in the health of the Amazon. This is one case where borders don't really count for much. Borders, when it comes to environment and the and the air we breathe, this crosses borders with impunity. And so, if that is true, then the world should actually pay Brazil to preserve the Amazon, because they're doing that for all of us. I know it's, Brazil may be foregoing money they would get from logging and mining and cattle ranching and whatever, although there's a lot of dispute about that they actually get more economic gain from preserving the Amazon. But even so, the world should make an offer to Brazil that we will pay them big bucks to keep the Amazon healthy for all of us. Well, what if Brazil turns down? What if Brazil tells the world to buzz off? That it's their Amazon and they'll do what they want with it. What do we do then? Well, in that case, I think that would be you might even be a cause for regime change. This would be a cause for some kind of maybe military action. It could be arming the Indians. It could be a regime change of Brazil. Now, the U.S. has already done that to Brazil before, although in the recent past, the U.S. Regime change was to force out the governments of Lula da Silva and Dilma Rousseff, who were replaced by Mr. Bolsonaro. Another question is, I sort of wonder what will Bolivia is a neighbor of Brazil. Its president, Evo Morales, is an Indian person. And would Bolivia let this happen? So in other words, there are good grounds for regime change in Brazil if they don't preserve the Amazon for the health of the rest of the world. And let me say again, the first thing we should do is make Brazil, the world should offer to Brazil to pay Brazil to preserve the Amazon. You know, we talk a lot about globalism, and this is sort of, this is the supreme test for the idea of globalism. If the world can't save the Amazon, then you might say globalism has failed. And there are people, observers, scientists, who say that they study evolution, who tell us that actually that the human species has evolved to where it is now. It has evolved to fill every niche, every nook and cranny in nature, to seize every advantage for its own short-term gain. And the result so far is the human species has spread all over the world, while other species, other animal species, are disappearing. There are fewer of them left. Well, in other words, humanity is replacing a lot of other creatures in the world. Eventually, it's going to catch up to us. You can't get rid of honeybees. You can't even get rid of mosquitoes and flies and all sorts of creatures that we think of as a nuisance. We can't get rid of them without harming the human environment. In other words, we are all live on this world together, and we need to find a better way of doing it. So it seems that, according to some scholars of evolution, the human species is evolving. It has evolved to basically destroy itself. It has used up a lot of the resources, one-time resources like the oil in the ground, and it has used this to create mountains of garbage and a lot of pollution in the atmosphere. Don't forget that the oil in the ground took millions of years to get there, and the human species has used up about half of it in the last 200 years, and the other half can't be used because it would destroy the environment and probably destroy life itself. So this is a huge issue. I've been hearing Dar Jamail has been writing about this. Go to his website, look up Dar Jamail and read what he's been saying about what humanity is doing to the world that we all live in. And it's something that'll really, it's very frightening, it's very concerning, much more than this contrived issue about Russiagate and Russia interfering in our elections and Russia kind of doing evil things to us, for which we are expected to do evil things back to Russia. Don't forget that going to war, that one of the biggest polluters in the world is the Pentagon, the U.S. military, with its 800 bases and military hardware all over the world. Is polluting our environment. It's supposed to be making us safe, but it's destroying the world we live in. And that's even without a war. That's just what it does now. A war with Russia would kind of maybe put the finishing touches on this destructive process. So those are the two things I want to talk about. We have about a couple minutes left. If anyone wants to call in with a comment, 231-8187. I think, you know, you may find this opinion on Brazil kind of harsh, but I think I've been thinking a lot about it, and this is a supreme test of what globalism, what one world is all about. We think of globalism as a kind of a mainly based on free trade, but globalism is really the world thinking as one world, the world saving itself and preserving itself. We got time for one more caller. Jack is on the line. Morning, Jack.
Yeah, I'm glad you're still talking about this Russiagate nonsense. All my left liberal progressive friends seem to be totally duped by this thing. They just, you know, and they cannot refuse to acknowledge that it's more than likely a deep state operation to gin up a new Cold War. And they're just getting sucked right along with it, and their desperation, their hatred for Trump is so desperate that they just cling to anything, and they can't even begin to acknowledge that if they went for him on financial fraud, his business fraud, his career of business fraud is so well
documented. Right, yeah, that'd be grounds for prison right there.
Yeah, so anyway, thanks for keeping it in front of people, and I wish more of your colleagues at KBOO would join you in this effort.
Well, thanks for your call. I just go out with this one final thought, is that whatever the deep state, which is the CIA and the FBI and the other intelligence agencies, what they are doing to Donald Trump, who we all rightfully despise, you know, what they are doing to him, they could do to any one of our favorite candidates. Imagine that they were doing the same thing to Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren, and think about that a little more. So anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Stay tuned for the Heather McCoy Show.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time now is 10 o'clock. Coming up next, it's the Heather McCoy Show. Heather welcomes Chrissy Stroup to the talk about the article, The Gospel According to Mike Pence. There's a terrifying thought. At 11, it's Book Waves. And at 11:30, it's Black Book Talk, interviewing authors and discussions of works by African-American authors. Don't forget that you can hear all these programs after they air on KBOO.fm or on iTunes and Google Play. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to KBOO.fm or use our mobile app and click on Donate. KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032.